This is the voice of Turkey.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. This is Halil İbrahim Sarıkaya from Voice of Turkey. And this is the Voice of Turkey's English language transmission broadcasting from Ankara in the 16-meter band between 12:30, 13:30 UTC on 17620 kHz to Europe. You can listen to us over the TurkSat 3A and 4A satellites and on the internet at www.trtdinle.com through radios link and under the Voice of Turkey radios expandable section. Our email address is englishdesk@trt.net.tr. Following the news and Riyot Turkish Press, the Voice of Turkey will present some programs and some music. President Erdogan, I will continue to defend the struggle of Palestine by killing over 14,000 innocent children in Gaza. Israel has already outdone Nazi leader Adolf Hitler, the Turkish president said on Wednesday. With unconditional support from the West, Israel is carrying out massacres that are marks of shame in human history, both in Gaza and the West Bank, Recep Tayyip Erdogan told the Justice a development party group meeting in the Turkish parliament, saying that no one can question Turkey's sensitivity to Palestinian issue. Erdogan added that the Palestinian cause gave his life new meaning. As long as God grants me life, I will continue to defend the struggle of Palestine and will be the voice of the oppressed Palestinian people, Erdogan adding. Comparing the struggle of the Palestinian resistance group Hamas to the Turkish War of Independence over 100 years ago, Erdogan said, "We are well aware that there is a price to pay for saying this." Since an October 7 cross-border attack by Hamas, which killed some 1,200 people, Israel has waged a relentless offensive on Gaza, taking the lives of nearly 34,000 people, most of them women and children, and injuring almost 77,000 others. Israel's war on Gaza has pushed 85% of the territory population into internal displacement amid acute shortages of food, clean water and medicine, while over 60% of the enclave's infrastructure has been damaged or destroyed, according to UN. Israel stands accused of genocide at the International Court of Justice. An interim ruling in January ordered Tel Aviv to stop genocidal acts and take measures to guarantee that humanitarian assistance is provided to civilians in Gaza. U.S. diplomat John Bass visited capital Ankara. U.S. officials said that John Bass, U.S. Deputy Under Secretary of State of Management Affairs and Acting Assistant Secretary of State for Political Affairs, discuss ways to deepen regional security coordination between the United States and Turkey during his visit to Turkish capital Ankara. U.S. officials said that during his meeting with Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan, John Bass discussed the importance of efforts to ensure an urgent ceasefire that guarantees increased humanitarian aid to Gaza, the protection of Palestinian civilians, and the release of all detainees. The meeting also addressed the critical importance of preventing the escalation of conflicts in the region or a wider conflict, as well as maintaining support for Ukraine's defense in the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war since February 2022, and further strengthening NATO's unity and capabilities. Hence, Mr. Bas met with Deputy Foreign Minister Ambassador Burak Akçapar to deliberate deepening coordination on regional security and expanding trade and investment ties beneficial to both countries. During his meeting with President's Foreign Policy and Security Advisor Ambassador Akif Çağatay Kılıç, further talks on peace and security in the region took place. Security Council to vote on Palestine's full membership to the UN. A vote will be held at the United Nations Security Council on a draft resolution for Palestine's full membership in the UN. Palestine's permanent representative to the UN posted a message on X and said that draft resolution was penned by Algeria on behalf of the Arab group with the UN. The draft, which recommends the UN General Assembly accept Palestine as a full member, will be submitted to vote at a ministerial level meeting at the UN General Assembly on April 18. However, the US previously hinted that it would veto the attempt. US Deputy Permanent Representative to the UN, Robert Wood, said there's a stance on the matter did not change, adding, the issue of full Palestine membership in the UN is one of the final status issues to be decided in bilateral talks between the Palestinians and Israel on a peace agreement. For the draft bill to be passed, five permanent members of the UN Security Council should refrain from using their vote mandate and nine members should vote yes. Should the Security Council adopt the draft bill, then it is submitted to the UN General Assembly, where it needs to garner the support of two-thirds of 993 member states. Palestine applied for full membership in 2011, but failed to secure the UN Security Council's approval. The State of Palestine was granted observer member status in 2012. Palestine's permanent representative to the UN, Riyad Mansour, sent a letter to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on April 2nd and requested that their membership application be reconsidered. Guterres also wrote a letter to the UN Security Council on April 3rd, calling for Palestine's request to be put on the agenda. The UN Security Council forwarded Palestine's request to the Committee for the Admission of New Members on April 8. The committee, which was supposed to be respond to the Security Council regarding membership, said later it could not reach an agreement in two meetings. Guterres calls for de-escalation in the Middle East. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres reiterated his calls for the de-escalation and acting with moderation in the Middle East and focusing on peace. UN spokesperson Stephane Dujarric replied to reporters' questions at his daily press conference. When asked about Guterres' reaction to Israel's preparations to attack Iran, Dujarric said, the Secretary General, as he has made clear before, calls for moderation. We do not want any more violence. An eye for an eye policy will not lead to peace. Dujarric stated that Guterres had met with the Iranian foreign minister and was in contact with the Israel president and other officials, and added, the Secretary General called for de-escalation and moderation. He called for a renewed focus on peace in the Middle East. Israel launched an airstrike on Iran's consulate building in Damascus on April 1st, killing seven Iranian officials from the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, including two generals. Iran announced that Israel's consulate attack amounted to an attack on its territory and that it would retaliate. Israel, on the other hand, declared that it would respond to Iran's attack. On April 13, Iran launched an attack on Israel with hundreds of UAVs, ballistic and cruise missiles. Iran announced that some targets were hit, while Israel said the most of the attacks were intercepted by air defense system, but a missile hit a military base in the south. Israel media claimed that Tel Aviv decided to respond to the Iranian airstrike in a clear and effective manner. International airlines are suspending or postponing flights to Israel. due to tension between Israel and Iran, international airlines are opting to reschedule their flights to the region. The British airline Wizz Air had cancelled its Tel Aviv flights on April 14 and 15 following Iran's attack on Israel on April 13. Another British airline, EasyJet, has also suspended flights to Tel Aviv until October 27, citing the ongoing situation in Israel, including the summer season. German airline KLM has cancelled flights to Israel until April 21 and announced that flights will not pass over Iran and Israel. Lufthansa Group, based in Germany, resumed its flights to Tel Aviv, Amman and Erbil today after suspending them. The company has cancelled flights to Tehran and Beirut until April 18 and announced it will not use Iranian airspace. Air India has temporarily suspended flights to Tel Aviv. United Airlines from United States has suspended Tel Aviv flights and announced that passengers with tickets to the region until May 1 can receive a full refund. Air Canada stated that they will continue to monitor the situation in the region after cancelling Saturday flights to Tel Aviv and adjust their flight schedules accordingly. Australian Airlines Qantas reported rerouting its flights to avoid Iranian airspace, while Virgin Atlantic announced that it does not fly over Iraq, Iran, and Israel and continues to monitor the situation for potential impacts on its operations. Iberia Express had already cancelled flights to Tel Aviv on April 14 and 15. UK smoking ban for younger generations. In Britain, the sale of cigarettes to those born after 2009 has been banned. The bill will ban the new generation access to cigarettes for life, passed in the House of Commons on Tuesday by 383-67. Thus, with the scope of the initiative to create a smoke-free generation in the country, the sale of cigarettes to those born after January 1, 2009 was banned. Under the law, children who turn 15 this year will not be able to buy cigarettes for the rest of their lives. The law does not include a ban on smoking, but on the sale of tobacco products. The Office for National Statistics stated that 12.9% of the adult UK population, 6.4 million people, will be smokers in 2022. A similar ban was passed in New Zealand but was repealed by the new coalition government before the law came into force. Israel is making a decision to act against Iran following last weekend's retaliatory attack, the British Foreign Secretary said Wednesday. Speaking in Tel Aviv, where he is paying a visit, David Cameron said he hoped they do so in a way that does a little to escalate this as a possible. Cameron said he was in Israel to show solidarity after that appalling attack by Iran. We made clear our views yesterday about what should happen next, but we also said Israel is an independent sovereign country and gets to make these choices, he added. Cameron said it's right to show solidarity with Israel. It's right to have made our views clear about what should happen next. But it's clear that Israelis are making a decision to act. We hope, continue to hope that as they do, so in a way that is smart, as well as tough, but it also does a little as possible to escalate this conflict, Cameron added. He said, I am also here to focus back the eyes of the world on the hostage situation. 192 days those people have been held. Hamas should release them now. There is a good deal for them on the table. The only reason the conflict continues in Gaza is because they won't take that deal. We need the hostages out, we need the aid in, and I will be discussing that with the Israel government and with the Palestinian Authority as well. Cameron said it's clear that Israelis are making a decision to act. We hope they do so in a way that does a little to escalate this possible. And in a way that, as I said yesterday, is smart as well as tough, but the real need to refocus back on Hamas, back on the hostages, back on getting the aid in, back on getting a pause in the conflict in Gaza. Cameron said he will talk to the Israel government, talk to Palestinian Authority, to try and push those things forward. He also said UK wants to see coordinated sanctions against Iran, and they need to be given a clear message by the G7. And that was the news brought to you by the Voice of Turkey. Good. Voice of Turkey presents Review of the Turkish Press. Yeni Şafak covers recent remarks by President Recep Tayyip Erdoğan, which he made following the cabinet meeting. In a conversation with presidential correspondents at the presidential complex, President Erdoğan emphasized the significance of his upcoming visit to Iraq and said numerous agreements will be signed. We will redefine Turkey-Iraq relations on a different level. I might also visit Erbil. Sabah says the 9th-8 ships set sail from Mersin to Gaza. A ship carrying 3,774 tons of humanitarian aid prepared by Turkish Red Crescent for Gaza set sail from Mersin International Port yesterday. Fatma Meriç Yılmaz, president of the Turkish Red Crescent, said so far 13 planes and 8 ships have been sent to Gaza. We have sent our 9th ship. This ship carries the most aid in a single trip so far. Hürriyet headlines. Turkey's first indigenous observation satellite, IMECE, successfully completes its first year. In reporting statements by Minister of Industry and Technology Mehmet Fatih Kaçır, who said Turkey's first high-resolution indigenous observation satellite, IMECE, has completed its first year in orbit. Minister Kaçır emphasized on social media that IMECE has successfully carried out its mission since its deployment in orbit. Star writes that President of Azerbaijan Ilham Aliyev has officially approved the formation of the Turkey-Azerbaijan University, planned to be established through cooperation between Turkey and Azerbaijan. Vatan reports that the testing phase continues successfully for high-tech unmanned system developed by Turkish defense company Baykar. The test process for the Kemankeş 2 mini-smart cruise missile will be conducted at Baykar Flight Training and Test Center in Keshan District of Edirne. And that was the Review of the Turkish Press, brought to you by the Voice of Turkey. Goodbye, dear listeners.
Unscripted twists of fate, serendipitous inventions, shaping our world. Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome back to another episode of Unscripted Twists of Fate, Serendipitous Inventions, Shaping Our World, where we delve into the fascinating stories behind accidental inventions shaping our world. I am your host, Efsun Duryocalar, and this week we have a tale as sweet as the chocolate chips in a batch of homemade cookies. As the world was engulfed in the chaos of World War II, amidst the deafening roar of gunfire and the cries of soldiers, there emerged a beacon of solace for American troops, the chocolate chip cookie. In the midst of fierce battles where soldiers often went without proper meals, these cookies became a lifeline, tucked away in their rucksacks, offering a brief respite from hunger and hardship. But the story of the chocolate chip cookie is one born from adversity, a product of the Great Depression that gripped the United States in 1929. As families struggled to make ends meet, their culinary traditions underwent a profound transformation. Gone were the days of elaborate dinners and decadent desserts. Instead, households turned to simple snacks and treats, with cookies emerging as a beloved staple in American kitchens. And thus, the chocolate chip cookie found its rightful place alongside coffee and milk, becoming an essential part of American culinary culture. Children clamored for these sweet delights, their eyes lighting up at the sight of a freshly baked batch cooling on the kitchen counter. And as they dipped their cookies into glasses of cold milk, they unknowingly forged a connection to a tradition that would endure for generations to come. Now, let's delve into the intriguing tale of how the chocolate chip cookie came to be. It's a story shrouded in chance and speculation, yet it's left an indelible mark on culinary history. In the early 1930s, amidst the tumult of the Great Depression, Neat and Ruth Wakefield operated a little restaurant called the Toll House, known for their warm hospitality and delicious treats. The couple often whipped up an array of cookies to accompany their patrons' coffee. But one fateful day, faced with a shortage of nuts for Ruth's beloved nutty cookies, she found herself at a culinary crossroads. Determined to improvise, Ruth reached for a bag of chocolate chunks left over from a previous baking experiment. Without a second thought, she scattered the chocolate pieces into the cookie dough, unsure of what the result would be. As the cookies baked in the oven, filling the air with a tantalizing aroma, Ruth and Neat could only wait with bated breath, wondering if their impromptu creation would be a success or a flop. Another version of the chocolate chip cookies origin tale emerges, shrouded in serendipity and a dash of whimsy. According to this alternate account, the story unfolds much like a delightful twist in a classical tale. Ruth Wakefield, in the midst of preparing a batch of cookies, accidentally spills a handful of chocolate chunks into the cookie dough. Initially dismayed by the mishap, she pauses to consider her options. Instead of discarding the dough, Ruth decides to embrace the unexpected turn of events. After all, why waste perfectly good ingredients? With a sense of curiosity and a hint of mischief, Ruth and Neat bake the cookies, fully intending to keep the results to themselves. And when they finally emerged from the oven, golden brown, and studded with melted chocolate, the cookies surpassed all expectations. Ruth had unwittingly stumbled upon a culinary masterpiece, the chocolate chip cookie. Some say it was a stroke of luck, while others believe it was fate. Regardless of how it happened, one thing remains clear. Ruth Wakefield's ingenuity forever changed the world of baking. Ruth, who first introduced her freshly baked chocolate chunk cookies to her husband Neith, accompanied by coffee and then ice cream, received a perfect score from him. Delighted by her husband's approval, she decided to offer this new creation to her customers. Named Chocolate Crunch Cookie in English, this new and affordable delight quickly gained immense popularity. It was even promoted on the most famous radio program nationwide at that time. Neith and Ruth Wakefield, who also acquired the patent rights for the chocolate chunk cookie, sold these rights to the renowned chocolate brand Nestle approximately 10 years later. For Americans, chocolate chip cookies carry a significance beyond just being cookies. People often say that through these cookies, they can recall the beautiful days they lost due to the Great Depression. The chocolate chip cookie, serving as a balm for the societal wounds that remained unforgettable, owes its greatest breakthrough to World War II. With the attack on Pearl Harbor leading the United States into World War II, the American Army began sending these cookies to their soldiers, especially during rainy weather, as they were more durable than hardtack biscuits. Soldiers, amidst long battles, had to suppress their longing for hot meals with these cookies. In fact, it's been said that the demand for cookies from the American Department of Defense increased so much that multiple factories were solely dedicated to producing chocolate chip cookies for the soldiers. Even after the war ended and the soldiers returned home, they didn't give up the taste that lingered on their plates. When their mothers or wives started baking chocolate chip cookies in their kitchens, it dethroned the most famous dessert of that era, the apple pie. Thus, although discovered by chance, the chocolate chip cookie is not just a cookie for American citizens. It also signifies leaving behind the bitter memories of the Great Depression and the millions of lives lost during World War II. Today, Ruth Wakefield's recipe for the easy-to-make chocolate chip cookie has become a staple snack in kitchens everywhere. So, the next time you bite into a warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie, remember the journey that brought it to your plate. And savor not just the taste, but the history and heart behind every delicious crumb. That's all for this week, dear listeners. Join us next time for another serendipitous adventure on the unscripted Twists of Fate. Until then, keep cooking and keep dreaming. Unscripted Twists of Fate. Serendipitous inventions shaping our world.
Bu
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Middle East and Turkey program. In today's episode, we will focus on the subject of the rising value of Turkish foreign policy, cultural diplomacy. We present an assessment on the subject by international relations expert Dr. Cemil Doğaç İpek. Cultural diplomacy is a type of diplomacy that aims to improve international relations by using a country's cultural assets. Various activities are carried out to increase mutual understanding, strengthen friendships, and promote international cooperation through art, literature, music, cinema, language, education, sports, and other cultural elements. Since the early 1990s, alongside the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, new state institutions in Turkey have also begun to increase their influence in foreign policy. especially after the independence of the Turkic republics in the Asian continent and developments in the Middle East, the Balkans and the Black Sea region, an independent unit called the Turkish Cooperation and Coordination Agency, TİKA, was established within the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in 1992. TİKA has implemented various social and cultural projects alongside its ongoing development aid. Since its establishment, TİKA has had numerous coordination offices abroad and completed tens of thousands of projects. In 2012, it was restructured under the name of the Turkish Cooperation and Coordination Agency Presidency and was affiliated with the Prime Ministry. After Turkey's transition to the presidential system, TİKA was incorporated into the Ministry of Culture and Tourism. TİKA's scope of activities includes regions such as the Middle East, Africa and Asia Pacific, with 80% of its projects being carried out in common cultural geographies such as the Balkans, the Middle East, the Caucasus and Central Asia. TİKA's activities have introduced a new concept called the TİKA World to Turkish foreign policy. This concept prioritizes regions such as the Middle East, where there is cultural and historical heritage, although it covers everywhere Turkey extends its helping hand. As recalled in the ambassadors' conferences, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who addressed Turkish ambassadors several times, stated that important steps have been taken to strengthen Turkey's foreign policy and efforts have been made to facilitate the work of Turkish ambassadors. In his speech, he emphasized that the Turkish Cooperation and Development Agency, TİKA, has successfully carried out works as an envoy of peace and cooperation in a wide geography. Additionally, he mentioned that the Presidency for Turks Abroad and related communities has effectively conducted activities to monitor and resolve the problems of Turkish and related communities, as well as in education and civil society organizations. Erdogan stated that Yunus Emre Institutes operate in various countries and Turkish Airlines and the Turkish Radio and Television Corporation are effectively present in different regions of the world. President Erdogan also emphasized that the private sector is also more recognized internationally and stressed that all these elements should work together in a coordinated manner to achieve common goals. President Erdogan's statements demonstrate the effectiveness of new institutions in the field of foreign policy in Turkey and the contributions of civil diplomacy to Turkish foreign policy. The Presidency for Turks Abroad and Related Communities, established to increase the value provided by Turkish citizens living abroad to the country and strengthen contacts with related communities, has recently come to the fore with prestigious works. These new institutions work to meet the increasing effectiveness of the Turkish people in foreign policy and their emerging needs. Turkey has overcome trust issues with countries it previously had security problems with, including its neighbors, through rhythmic diplomacy and a zero problems policy, and initiated multifaceted collaborations. The sympathy symbolized by President Erdogan's one-minute statement at the 2009 Davos Forum has gained structural significance today and changed the perception of Turkey in the Arab world. Turkey's emphasis on its Middle Eastern identity, its pioneering role in the Palestinian issue, and its support during the Arab Spring process have positioned Turkey as one of the leaders in the Muslim world. Furthermore, we must mention that Turkey is an attractive model for Middle Eastern peoples due to the Western values it embodies. Its democracy, liberal market economy, and reforms in the EU accession process have made Turkey a model for Middle Eastern countries. From the early 2000s to the present, there has been a societal transformation in Turkey from bottom to top. Factors such as increasing levels of education, rising levels of prosperity, and intensified interaction with the outside world influence this transformation. The increased prestige of the Turkish passport compared to the past enhances the respect, belief and confidence of the Turkish people in themselves and their state. Non-governmental actors and ordinary citizens can now participate in diplomacy processes and influence foreign policy. Strengthening civil society with the increase of individual freedoms will further increase this participation. The improvement in the quality of life in Turkey ensures the country's democratic maturity and increases its soft power. You have listened to the Middle East and Türkiye program prepared by international relations expert Dr. Cemil Doğaç İpek.
The Middle East and Türkiye.
Panorama.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sports Panorama program brought to you every week by the Voice of Turkey Radio. As usual, we will give an update on developments and the latest scores in five major European football leagues and of Turkey, as well as in the world of sports. As the 32nd week in Turkey's Trendyol Super League comes to an end, Fenerbahce and Galatasaray, which both have built at least a 30-point lead over their closest rivals, continue their championship race. After defeating Fatih Karagümrük 2-1 in an away game, the Yellow Canaries raised their point tally to 85 and sat atop the league. Galatasaray took on Corendon Alanyaspor the next day. They scored 4 goals, all in the second half, reaching 87 points and surpassing Fenerbahce in the standings. The top spot in the UK's Premier League standings changed hands in the 33rd week. Manchester City grabbed the league leadership after Arsenal and Liverpool lost critical points in their respective matches. Liverpool lost 1-0 against Crystal Palace at home, the first in their 58 matches. Another championship contender, Arsenal, was overpowered by Aston Villa in a home game. They lost 2-0. All these losses helped Manchester City finish the week as the leader with 73 points collected so far. Real Madrid is fast advancing toward the league championship in Spain's La Liga. One goal in the 31st minute by Aurelien Tourmeny was enough for the Los Blancos to beat Mallorca in an away game. As the Madrid team finished a perfect week ahead of their match against Barcelona next week, there were some discussions in the Spanish media over the fact that Arda Güler was not called upon to play in the Mallorca match. Real Madrid coach Carlo Ancelotti, who left Arda on the bench, was the focal point of the debates. Real Madrid now lead the standings with 78 points. Barcelona trail with 70 points. As the 32nd week of Italy's Serie A comes and goes, leaders Inter have a 14-point lead over their closest rival. They had a 2-2 tie with Cagliari at home, with Hakan Çalhanoğlu scoring the second goal for Inter as he played the entirety of the match. Inter reached 83 points, while second place Milan are at 69 points. In the 29th week of the Bundesliga, Bayer Leverkusen were crowned champions for the first time in their 199-year history after beating Werder Bremen 5-0, ending Bayern Munich's run of 11 successive league titles. Leverkusen did not lose in the 43 matches they played during the season and reached 79 points at the end of week 29. The win gave them a 16-point lead over Bayern Munich and Stuttgart. The team's Spanish coach, Xabi Alonso, carried his charges to the first league title in the club's long history and left his mark on European football during the 2023-2024 season. Several major European teams, such as Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and Liverpool, have taken an interest in Alonso after Leverkusen's recent success. But he is expected to stay as a Leverkusen coach since he has a contract running until 2026. Paris Saint-Germain remains the overwhelming favorite in Ligue 1 in France as the Paris team closed the 29th week with 63 points collected. Second place Brest have 53 points, while Monaco have 52 and Lille have 49 points, with still matches to play. In the match with the most goals in the 29th week, Olympique Lyon defeated Brest 4-3 at home. Lens, which is ranked 6th, lost 2-1 to Metz, which runs the risk of relegating. Nantes, another team that could be dropped from the main league, had a life-saving 1-0 win over Le Havre in the 29th week. B Before we end, let's have a brief look at some results in the world of sports. Fenerbahçe Alagöz Holding women's basketball team were crowned back-to-back EuroLeague women champions on Sunday. The Istanbul team saw first-time finalists Vilnov Dusk Alem 106-73 in the title decider, having knocked out Final Four hosts Çukurova Basketbol Mersin in the semifinals on Friday. They became the first team to surpass the 100-point mark in a EuroLeague final. A record in discus throwing that stood for four decades was broken at the Oklahoma Throws Series World Invitational meeting in Ramona, California on Sunday. Lithuanian discus thrower and European champion Mykolas Aleknas' throw of 74.35 meters surpassed Jürgen Schultz's effort in 1986. Schultz's landmark throw had been the longest standing record in track and field, according to Olympics.com. And this ends our program for this week. We hope to be with you at the same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
Sports Panorama.
You have been listening to the Voice of Turkey's English language transmission broadcasting from Ankara in the 16-meter band between 12:30 UTC and 1762 kHz to Europe. You can listen to us over the Turksat 3A and 4A satellites and on the internet at www.trtdinle.com through radio's link and under the Voice of Turkey Radio's expandable section. Our email address is englishdesk@trt.net.tr. Thank you for listening to the Voice of Turkey and goodbye.
La radio, la voce della Turchia. radio La Voce della Turchia. Radio La Voce della Turchia. Radio La Voce della Turchia. La radio La Voce della Turchia.